This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. The German government said Monday two more laboratories in France and Sweden have independently confirmed that Kremlin critic and opposition leader Alexei Navalny was poisoned with the Soviet-era nerve agent Novichok in his native Russia. Speaking at a news briefing in Berlin, government spokesman Stefan Seibert told reporters that along with the German lab analysis, there are now three independent labs that have confirmed how Navalny was poisoned. All indications are absolutely clear. A poisoning situation has occurred in Russia, he said. Russia has denied any involvement with the poisoning and accused the West of a smear campaign. The 44-year-old Navalny fell ill on a Russian domestic flight on August 20th and was transferred to Germany 2 days later for specialist treatment at Berlin's Charité Hospital. Berlin has demanded that Russia investigate the case. Navalny had been kept in an induced coma for more than a week, and as he was treated with an antidote, four hospital officials said a week ago that his condition had improved enough for him to be brought out of it. Doctors have cautioned that even though he's recovering well, long-term problems cannot be ruled out. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Monday won the first of several votes in Parliament on his plan to undercut the Brexit treaty. But he faces a growing rebellion among members of Parliament who say breaking international law would tarnish Britain's reputation. The European Union says Johnson's bill would collapse trade talks, while former British leaders have warned that breaking the law is a step too far that undermines the country's image. The EU has demanded Britain scrap the main parts of the bill by the end of September, and if not, there will be no trade deal at the end of the year. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. The Trump administration on Monday said it will block U.S. imports of cotton, clothing, and other products from five specific entities in western China's Xinjiang region. Department of Homeland Security Acting Deputy Secretary Kenneth Cuccinelli said the move is aimed at combating China's use of forced labor by detained Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. The commander in charge of the U.S. military's nuclear arsenal has warned that increasing China's nuclear stockpile is next on Beijing's to-do list. Speaking to reporters at the Pentagon Monday, U.S. Strategic Command Chief Admiral Charles Richards said the United States has no margin of error left to start recapitalizing its nuclear force. He said China has a proven record of steadily building its military and noted that Beijing has built more than 250 ships for the country's newly established Coast Guard in just the last 7 years. Earlier this month, a Pentagon report predicted that Beijing will at least double the size of its nuclear warhead stockpile over the next decade. There's been no response from the Chinese government. The United States is renewing its call for Gulf countries to resolve a three-year-long rift, citing the need to solidify a united front against Iran. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Monday, to close the door to increased Iranian meddling, it's past time to find a solution. Pompeo spoke after welcoming senior Qatari officials to the State Department for the third annual U.S.-Qatar Strategic Dialogue. The U.S. signed agreements with Qatar to enhance investment and cultural ties. The Gulf Cooperation Council bloc, composed of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Kuwait, and Bahrain, has been fractured since mid-2017. The UAE, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and Egypt cut diplomatic ties with Qatar and imposed a boycott, accusing it of supporting terrorism. Qatar has denied the allegations. The boycotting nations set 13 demands, among them ultimatums that Qatar shut down its Al Jazeera news network, cut ties with Islamist groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, limit its links to Iran, and expel Turkish troops from its territory. Kuwait and the United States have tried to mediate the dispute. And the new U.S. public survey has found that two-thirds of supporters of President Donald Trump strongly or somewhat support his deal with the Islamist Taliban to extricate the United States from the 19-year war in Afghanistan. Nearly 60% of supporters of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden also favor the landmark U.S. agreement with the Afghan insurgent group. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News.